I'm going to exercise a ministerial prerogative this morning and change the scripture reading to Isaiah, the 40th chapter. And I don't have the page number because we didn't look it up ahead of time, but if you want to find it there. Comes a few books after Psalms, just before Jeremiah. In the Old Testament. Comfort. Oh, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that she has served her term, that her penalty is paid, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries out, in the wilderness prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good tidings. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good tidings. Lift it up, do not fear. Say to the cities of Judah, here is your God. See, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. His reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom and gently lead the mother sheep. Here ends our reading from the prophet Isaiah. Well, if you had a chance to read through the announcements in the bulletin about all of the potlucks and teas and banquets that are coming along just in your church, I don't have to talk long to make the case that a significant portion of our lives revolves around eating. Thinking about it, getting ready for it, eating, and cleaning up afterwards. In many homes, I suspect there are more cookbooks than there are volumes of the encyclopedia. In fact, there's probably at least one for every year of marriage. One of my vivid childhood memories is the wooden recipe box that my mother had with the gold medal flower seal stamped on it. I suspect it was some prize, probably for saving coupons. In fact, the index cards of recipes inside over the years had gotten so dusty. They felt like flour themselves. These cards, which were the open door to marvelous concoctions. It's not surprising that food is a part of every holiday celebration, especially Christmas. And families have certain traditional treats at Christmas. It may be fig pudding or fruitcake. The Wilsons make shortbread. In the tradition in my boyhood home was to make Danish Kringle on Christmas morning, just Christmas morning. It had to be fresh. My mother was awake at dawn in the kitchen, getting the dough together, getting it into the oven, icing it, all that was necessary for that delicious coffee cake, Danish Kringle. We made one for ourselves, and one for the family of the Methodist minister. And when I got to be a freshman in high school and got my driver's license, they did that in New Mexico, I got to deliver the Danish Kringle every Christmas morning to the Methodist minister. Christmas has a special taste. Food and faith are linked together in a kind of symbolic power. The psalmist called the faithful to taste and see that the Lord is good. And elsewhere, a psalm prays to God, "How sweet are your words to my taste." And Jesus liberally sprinkled his teaching with allusions to eating and banquets and feasts. He uses the banquet, the wedding feast, to symbolize the joy of gathering together as God's kingdom. And one of the earliest lessons of faith centered around the receiving of manna by the Hebrews as they wandered in the wilderness between their time of bondage in Egypt for 40 years before they got to Palestine in that Sinai desert period of their history. The manna that was given to them day by day, they were very clear about that. There was never enough for 2 days, just one day, except on Friday, when they gathered enough to carry them over the Sabbath. So on the Sabbath, they did not have to go to the work of picking up the manna. Well, we don't know exactly what it was. They didn't leave the recipe for us in Exodus or Numbers. But we think it was a thin, crusty-like substance. It must have had some nourishment. But the point was that the manna was a sign of grace given to them. They didn't till the ground or plant or really harvest it. They just picked it up. It was God's gift. It was also an act of faith because they were content to live without certain provision for the future, believing that God would provide for tomorrow. It's like the immigrant who arrives on our shores with $1 in his pocket and an incredible confidence that somehow tomorrow will be okay. The taste of Christmas for the person of faith is a kind of understanding that life is given from beyond. That's what that whole story about the virgin birth is all about. We did not do anything to create this gift of light. It is God's gift to us simply to be received. We are the beneficiaries of steadfast providence. Isaiah said it. Ezekiel picked it up also as the scripture was read last Sunday. This word which came to the Hebrews when they were in exile, struggling with not only deprivation, but the meaning of existence, the meaning of their lives, the providence of God. When the word of hope came to them that God would act, God would bring them back to their homeland, and God would feed them as a shepherd leads his sheep to pasture. The taste of Christmas coming is the witness to God's eternal love. As I thought about this idea and read these scriptures this week, it occurred to me that God creates in us the desire of taste to bring us to a table with others. God is sneaky. Food brings us together and establishes community. Children eat for taste and the sensation of feeling and smearing it on their face and hair and everywhere their tiny arms can reach. But adults understand that eating is not just to please the palate or for metabolism, to keep the metabolism going, is to experience the compassionate spirit which eating together creates. Put a group of people together, it may be family or friends, put them in a car and travel all day, or put them in the same room in front of a television set. Put them together with tea or cookies or food. And something else happens in that gathering. I don't know how to explain it, but when you share something to drink, when you share something to eat, something happens to all of you at the deepest level of your life that cannot happen in any other way. What's on the table is not as important as the love shared by those sitting around the table. The purpose of our hunger is to make sure we find each other. Something else I've learned, and that is that food held before God becomes the occasion for God's own presence. The taste of Christmas coming, received and shared, becomes a means of healing wounded spirits, restoring hope, finding the light that God brings to us and to our world. Even the finest chocolate, eaten in anger, is bitter. But simple bread, shared in love, carries the sweetness of eternal life. The taste of Christmas present is present, and taste of Christmas coming is caught up in this symbolic meal which we share today. It is given to us, that has the power to bless. For we come to it not as solitary creatures, but as we walk forward and kneel shoulder by shoulder, we become sisters and brothers. We come with all of the uncertainty, conflict, and need that human beings have. And we rise from our knees lighter, refreshed, and hopeful. In these weeks before us, our eyes turn again toward Bethlehem, that manger of Bethlehem, the place where God's grace is given and received. Bethlehem. Which means house of bread. Let us pray. Eternal God, you know the hungers of our lives. That fill us with yearning and searching. We want so much to be satisfied. And we confess we look in strange places for it. In things, activity. We look for ways we can buy it. Teach us, O God, as we kneel here together in prayer, that the satisfaction for our deepest need is given. It is for each of us and all of us, that light which comes in Christ, which is ours for the receiving, if we're willing to share it. And so let this be a day and a season of love, when as we come together and eat with each other, we know we are drawn by that grace which loves us each and everyone. In Christ we pray. Amen. Let the ushers come forward, receive the gifts that we have brought out of the sweat of our brow, the commitment of our lives to serve God.